Welcome to the Crizzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. We are already started our progress today. We're having a little
bit. Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Crizzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Crizzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Your old aunt anymore. You're going to want to go play with your friends. But she still does, so I'm still loving it. So I'm going to give you some ideas of how to savor your life and things to stop and pause on so that you do savor and not live for the past or for the present, but actually enjoy what you're dealing with today. I'm reminded of the scripture in Matthew 6:34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Be present in today. Here are some practical ways to savor. One, breathe slowly and deeply. In addition to begin an act of savoring itself, breathing slows down your thinking, lowers your stress, and brings you into the present moment. Place your feet on the ground. If you're little like her, this might mean scooting to the edge of the seat, otherwise you're left typically dangling your feet. But if you're an average height woman or tall, it's easy. Feel your feet on the floor. It grounds you and makes you aware of your body. Eat slowly. I love good food. Most of the time, though, we eat too quickly. We do other things while eating. Talk on the phone, which I hope nobody talks on the phone while they're eating because that's an absolute pet peeve. Ugh. We do other things like text messaging, checking the messages, catching up on email or on reading. None of these are negatives in and of themselves, but multitasking while eating typically means you don't fully enjoy it. Make eating an experience. Use good dishes. Don't swallow as soon as you take a bite. Instead, savor your bite for a moment. Taste the flavors, then swallow. Not only is this a more conscious way to eat, but it typically means you'll eat less and digest your food more easily. By the time most of us are done eating, and by the time most people get the signal from the stomach to the brain that they are full, they're well past full, at which point they should have stopped eating a long time ago. Set boundaries around your conversations. Have you ever talked to someone who responds to every outside distraction when they're talking to you? Your mid-sentence on the phone when they start talking to someone who is walking by. You're having dinner and they keep responding to a text message and phone calls. It is annoying and it sends a message that everything else is more important than you in that moment. Engage in conscious conversation. This may mean shorter conversations sometimes as you juggle multiple responsibilities, but conversation will be of a higher quality. So even, you know, if you are talking to somebody, my mom gets distracted really easy. So if I even just sit with her and just know that I've got her for, you know, 3 minutes and I have that conversation for 3 minutes, leave out all the explanation in the story and get to the guts of everything, she'll remember that. And I'm not going to be frustrated because she meandered off onto something else that's going on in the house because her house is crazy. Set boundaries around your activities. Likewise, protect precious moments and important activities by setting boundaries that minimize interruptions. Remember that interruptions decrease happiness, according to research. It is difficult to savor a moment when you are being continually disrupted or disturbed by something unrelated. Feel the emotion of the moment. Something else that gets lost when you don't savor your moment is the feeling of the moment. When I noticed the simplicity of the moment on the sofa with my goddaughter, I felt several emotions, joy, peace, gratitude, and love. because I allowed myself to feel those emotions in the moment as I savored it. I can now reminisce and write about the experience because I remember it quite well. I was there. I was fully present in that moment. Therefore, it was rich and meaningful, even though it was a small and simple time. Without intentionally feeling the emotion, you can have big, long-anticipated experiences and not remember much about them. Why? Because you're not really there. You were present physically, but not emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. I'd like to have us kind of do an exercise. I want everybody to close their eyes. And you on the in the radio, you guys close your eyes, unless you're driving. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. Close your eyes and put your tongue at the roof of your mouth, right at the back of your teeth, and leave it there. I want you to breathe in through your nose for 4 seconds at the count of four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven, purse your lips and blow out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you're breathing in through your nose for the count of four, holding it for the count of seven, pursing your lips and forcefully breathing it out for the count of eight. And you're holding your tongue at the back of your teeth.
Or even when we blow it out?
Even when you blow it out for that entire time. You do that, and it not only relaxes you, but it also helps you go to sleep. So, and it takes practice. I mean, I've been doing it more and more and more, and it does. It takes practice. And what I find is when I'm trying to do it to fall asleep, that as I'm blowing out, I'm just like, and it's like, oh, good, I'm getting close. I'm getting close. And I keep doing it until I don't remember stopping. And I wake up in the morning, I'm like, really? That curse's alarm is going off again. All five of them. But that is something you can do, a really good breathing exercise that you can do to calm yourself, and you'll find you can actually feel your heart. When I first start doing it, I can feel my heartbeat pounding in my ears really fast, boom, 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 boom. And then as I've done it like 3 or 4 times, I can feel I'm taking in slower or less deep breaths on that four, and my whole body is starting to relax, and I'm starting to breathe calmer and shallower. And it's a really, really helpful on stress and everything else. So do that. Take that home with you and learn to savor that breathing. Something else we seem to take for granted is truly our breath. We breathe, and I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers, but we breathe subconsciously. We just breathe. I mean, our body, if it stopped breathing, we're dead. Our brain is going 24/7, literally. It is. We're breathing, we're repairing our body, we're doing all these wonderful things in our sleep, even when we don't know it. So how often do we go through a day and we've taken, I don't know, this is probably wrong, 100,000 breaths, and that's probably really wrong, isn't it? Like 30,000 breaths, and we've drank in fluids that have gone through our body. You take a drink of water, and it's going down your throat, into your stomach, going out to the areas of your body. I think we're, 70% water? Going out to your body and feeding your body the fluids it needs. And we don't even think about it. Now, I'm not saying every single thing you do, you need to stop and say, water. I feel it going to my fingertips. I feel it going to my toes. But it isn't a bad idea to even be ridiculous like that until you get the hang of truly enjoying every moment. You can even enjoy the bad moments. And you really can. You're having a bad day. You can enjoy the fact that it's a bad day. It's not a bad life. It's not a bad month. It's not a bad week. It is, and maybe it is. But you can enjoy the fact that you know it's going to end, and there's going to be a rainbow at the end of that rainstorm, and that you have friends and family and God and guidance to get you through it. You're learning something out of this process. You are moving forward on a new path. You're making decisions and you're doing it well. Everything you do, you can learn to savor and enjoy. So I think that a lot of us tend to think we savor our food because we eat a lot of it and we like it. But with this in mind, if we savor it and truly enjoy that, maybe we won't want to eat as much simply because we really tasted it. I have, there has been plenty of things that I've eaten that tasted so good that I wanted more even though I couldn't handle it. You know, I was full. I wonder if I slowed down and truly savored every bite, if I'd be like, you know what, I got my fill of that. And I'm going to try it because I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time saying I'm done. All right, Tammy, it's you.
All right, Tammy, it's me. It's not as confusing because you and I sound a little different
on
radio,
yeah.
But Debbie and I sound exactly the same. So we either confuse people with that was Tammy and now I'm Debbie and Debbie, I'm Tammy, and they're like, yeah, really. But if we go, I'm Tammy, hi, I'm Tammy, then it's even more confusing. But, yeah, that was Tammy's fault. I'm the other Tammy. So she was talking about savoring something as one of our – we're actually on the book Happy Women Live Better. And I think we're always at a pursuit of happiness. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about life. And this chapter has been on your purpose. Now, you can read the book for yourself, but I want to give you a little different perspective on purpose. So if you say to me, you know, I'm 50 years old and I really don't know what my purpose is in life, or I'm 30 years old or I'm 20 or whatever it is, I've even had somebody say, 70 years old, I don't know what my purpose is. And I think a very sad situation was I was with my mom in a grocery store one time, and we saw a lady who got married about the same time my parents did, and they've been married going on 60 years. And this was probably right after my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. So she had just lost her husband to death after 50 years. And my mom saw her and said, oh, you know, how sad. You know, I said, oh, that's just got to be horrible to have a happy marriage and lose somebody after 50 years, you know. So we walked over to her. I never forget, she's in a produce section and the water's dripping on the vegetables. You know how you remember weird details, like why does that matter? And the water's dripping on the vegetables. And we go over, my mom says, hey, sorry to hear about your husband. How are you doing? Now, if I was this lady, I'd probably break down and start crying on the potatoes or something. And she turned around, and she looked really good. I mean, her makeup was done, her hair was done. She was looking pretty snazzy. And I don't remember her looking like that all the time. And she says, I have never been happier. And I think we were so taken back, I just both went, huh? And she says, yeah, and mom says, oh, yeah, he's probably not struggling anymore. He's in heaven, you know, he'd been ill. And she says, no, I'm really happy. And so we just walked away, and mom and I didn't say anything to each other for quite some time because it was just real weird. But I thought, I don't want to end like that. I don't want to be unhappily married for 50 years. Thank God I'm not unhappily married for 16. But I couldn't imagine being happy to lose somebody. And I thought, you know, I wonder if she really has felt that she lost her purpose in life and was unhappily living. So one thing about pursuing happiness, which I think we all do, I want to do this because it makes me happy. And, you know, my dad has always told me that people will afford what they want to afford, go where they want to do what they want to do, and make time for the people they want to make time for, period. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care how poor they are. I don't care how far away they live. They will make it happen if they truly want it. People that are addicted to something, they may not have food on their plate, but they will get their addiction taken care of, won't they? Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We pursue what makes us feel right. Is that the right thing to do? According to the Bible, it says that I've had to put away fleshly things that I wanted to do what is right instead. So I think so many times we have to say, what is our purpose in life? And the one thing that my husband always tells me, if I start talking a little selfish, is, Tammy, remember, the world does not revolve around you. And now he doesn't even have to say it. We'll look at each other, and I'll look at him, or he'll look at me, who was ever having the pity party, and go, it does not revolve around you. If I'm going to complain about how I feel physically, I could call Kwanda. If I'm going to complain that I had a couple sleepless nights, I could call somebody else that has insomnia. Yeah, I could call Tammy. I could call a lot of you guys in the middle of the night that don't sleep. You know, if I want to complain about my son with a speech problem, I could call my friend who has two autistic children. One is nonverbal at all. You know, there's always somebody out there worse off than me. And I read something kind of interesting in a psychology journal thing this week, and that is, if we're quiet when we could have said something, we're actually learning some wisdom. When we could have blurted out whatever we felt at the time, we are actually pursuing a purpose of being wise in life. And I remember in my 20s, I thought the more that I said, the smarter that I sounded. And then I learned in my 30s, the less that I said, the smarter that I sounded. And now I'm learning in my 40s to listen to everybody else who's in their 20s.
Yeah.
Because I did the same thing. And I thought I was everyone's judge. And I thought if I pointed my finger at somebody else, I was a better Christian. Until one day life happened to me. And I realized my purpose is not to be someone else's Christ. My purpose is to be a Christian. I am not going on the cross for anybody for what they've done to or against me or anybody else. I'm not going on the cross for what my ex-husband did to me. I am laying boldly in front of the cross and saying, God, because of your grace, I'm saved. And so as we're talking about being happy and pursuing happy and, oh, I'd be just so much more happy, Tammy, if you would just call me more, that would just make me more happy. Well, you know what? You're not the problem. I have the problem because I need to be fulfilled with Christ, not with her. I need to be fulfilled with the arms of Christ that died for me, not the arms of my older son that should say the right thing to me because this is what I need because I'm his mother. And learning that in our pursuit of happiness, we find more happiness in following what God has called us to do. And if you don't know what that is, I very much challenge you to maybe get into some life coaching to find out. We're all called to bring the gospel to people. We're all called to share grace. We're all called to have mercy. We're all called to be a servant. But if you feel that you don't know where your ministry is in life, and I believe that as Christians we all have a ministry in life. Boy, I met a couple when I was going through my divorce, and their ministry was counseling. Absolutely. And their ministry was mercy. And I had never felt that with anybody that wasn't a family member to me. And I remember her saying, and Sandy, if you're listening tonight, this is for you. I remember her holding my hands and her saying, I hope that Tammy feels the family of God tonight. And you know what? First time ever, I did. I did. And I thought there would be judgment there, and there was not judgment. And you know what that peace and that grace did to me? It made me have Christ become Lord of my life. I was a Christian at 5 years old. I asked Jesus in my heart. But he was not the Lord of my life till I was 27. And you know what that was about? That had to do with grace from God's people. That had to do for mercy from God's people. Because I'll tell you, as we pursue this pursuit of happiness and relishing in things or anticipation, I think maybe Debbie had that one, or financial savvy, or we could go down the list of what this book has taught us, and it's a great book. She did a great job at this, but I love how she ends it, and that is to remind us that our pursuit of our purpose in life is not for us to be happy. God calls us to be holy. He does not call us to be happy. And in that holiness, and being a servant to other people and taking on, as Karen is, grandchildren, taking on things and people in their life that is not convenient for us. That is where we will find happiness because true happiness is joy in Christ. And what is joy? And according to the Bible, joy is strength. Joy is strength. Joy is not, oh, isn't she cute? She's so joyful. No. Have you ever laughed so hard and when you laugh, you don't have any strength? That's goofiness, that's fun, that's not joy. Joy is strength. Joy is strength in the time where you don't know what's going to happen. Joy is being in Mexico's biggest hurricane in history next to your husband and two kids and not know if you're going to live through the night and saying, I'm ready to go. You know what? That's strength. That's joy. Because I thought, you know, first time in my life, my husband looks at me and says, this could be our last day on earth. And you know what? I was okay with that. You know why? Because my purpose is to minister to people. My purpose is to minister to you. I talked to my dad on the way home. I said, you know, Dad, I am doing everything I feel God has called me to do. There's nothing in my life right now that I don't feel called. And during this time, this is why I have joy. I get to work with young people. Love it. I've done it for almost 20 years. Love it. Get to work with you here. Get to work on the radio. Get to sing on the television. Get to go speak and sing to people. I'm an undergraduate in a school for speech pathology. I'm going to be able to sit down with family someday, and their kids cannot say they love them, and one day I'm going to watch them do it. You know how exciting that is to me? That's exciting to me. You know why? Why is it? Why did I become a counselor? Why did I want to do that? Because I went through a divorce that caused me to have to see somebody else. Every time we have to humble ourselves, that's God lifts us up to do something in our life. Think about the worst times in your life, and I will tell you, your ministry is somewhere right there, right there. Your misery is where your ministry is. And where's our first ministry? Hardest one. Ooh, this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard. Our first ministry is to our family. The most unlovable, the ones that break your heart the hardest, the ones that walk out and kill every inch of your soul because you love them so much, that's your ministry. Period. End of story. That's your ministry first. The ones that are addicted, the ones that did things that you don't agree with, the ones that hurt you, the ones that didn't tell you you loved them back, the ones that walked away after you gave them 30 years of your life, the ones that... Sorry, that's your ministry. You know why? Because that is what the devil wants to crumble. Because a house that's divided will not stand. That's what he wants to get rid of. And, you know, we had a miscommunication that happened just a few months back, and it could have absolutely done something to our family. Absolutely. And I remember standing up, and I think it was Debbie I talked to on the phone, and I said, I will not let this happen. Not let this happen. The purpose that we have in our life, first and foremost, happens in the frame and the house and the roof that we live in. Number one, Stephanie is a stay-at-home mom. She's raising the husband and wife of our future generation. That's what she's doing. Is that important? Absolutely. Absolutely. So many times our ministry does not have a title. It doesn't have a title. It's not a doctor. It's not a this. It's not a this. It's something else. It's not. Somebody put on Facebook the other day, I don't care how you stand with the great until I know that you sit next to the needy. And I thought, that's it. That's what it's about. At the times that I needed the Lord the most, it was the family of God that was around me. It was my dad holding my hand next to me, not the one at the pulpit, the one next to me. So in so many times, as we're pursuing who we are, how could we look at things? If you were sitting in my office tonight and you said, how could I tell, you know, what is my purpose for life? Besides what I just said, I would say, how do you change others' lives for the better? How do you change? If it was you and somebody else in the room, what could you add to their life? That's part of your ministry. The second thing is what do people say that you're good at? And the third thing is, what is there something, an opportunity that you may have never tried to do, but you wouldn't mind doing it? And if people are like, well, I really don't have a ministry, if you attend a church, you definitely do, because we're all here. You know, you're probably not being paid to be in this room tonight. We're all here. There's always something to do. I'll tell you, I'm the choir director, but I couldn't do it without Mary, without my dad, without people that have come in here and done stuff behind the scenes. Their ministry is every bit as important as mine. So don't ever think that if a spotlight's not on you, that's not what it's all about. Tammy O is just, I don't know where she's at, but she's done all the paperwork for our retreat for this thing coming up. Sandra's amazing, helper. We just had people that have come into our life that we're a team together. You know, nobody's better than anybody else. We're a team together. And your purpose doesn't have to be something that's on stage that just seems so big. I know that we have a purpose for the day that's different than a purpose for our life. What's the purpose for today? How can you give that grace to somebody else? I got my dad a book that's called,